Christian greetings this morning again in the very precious name of Jesus. To each of you, glad for the presence of each one, the visitors that are among us this morning. It's good to have you with us, and I'll just say I thoroughly enjoyed the Sunday school discussion out back. It was very interesting to be with a group of the younger generation, mostly younger generation, with the exception of a few of us. But it inspires my heart to see young brethren and sisters take a hold of the Word of God and discuss it together and, yes, come up with the same conclusions that I have heard for many, many years. It tells me this morning that somewhere there was parents, grandparents, mentors in their life that made the Word of God real to them. And my encouragement to you as a younger generation is continue that, so that in the years to come, there's going to be, if the Lord tarries, another generation that is ready to take up the work when it's their time. The song we just sang, the third verse, stood out to me. I have found that hope so bright and clear, living in the realm of grace. Oh, the Savior's presence is so near, I can see His smiling face. What was your experience this week? We sang that, and that phrase caught my attention, and I went back to my journey this week a little bit, and I had to wonder if I really felt God's presence and His nearness and could sense His smiling face in every aspect of this past week. It's a challenge. One of the brethren said, it's one thing to have a knowledge about things, it's another thing to actually put it in shoe leather and make it a part of our experience. And I had to think about that as I thought about life. Yes, it's easy to have an understanding and know and want to, but it's another thing to really make it reality in our experience. Well, this past week, as I pondered and I thought about what to share and was seeking God's will and for a message this morning, all of a sudden I realized that today is a special day. It's Mother's Day. And by way of tradition, I guess it seems somewhat right. I believe the mothers would probably be disappointed this morning if we would just totally ignore that and speak about something altogether different and not even mention the fact that we are glad to have mothers among us and are blessed to have mothers among us. But you know what my response was as I thought about that? I don't know why it seems like this second Sunday of the month in May, which is often Mother's Day, falls in my lot to preach, and I preached I don't know how many Mother's Day messages over the years already. Anyhow, I said to my wife, this was my comment. I said, oh, Mother's Day. I said, another Mother's Day message? I said, why would I preach another Mother's Day message? You know what my wife's response was? She looked at me and she said, I've been a mother for so long. Why would I be a mother anymore? Wow, talk about having the carpet pulled right out and underneath you. Well, you know, she's been married to me for 35 plus years, and she knows me well enough. She knew I was pitying myself just a little bit and was probably trying to get her to pity me, and she knew me well enough too that she knew I didn't need any pity. And this morning, mothers, the same God that called me to year after year stand in this pulpit and preach, and yes, it's my lot to preach a Mother's Day message again, has called you to be a mother. And the same God that gives me the grace to be a minister of the gospel and makes it possible that I can muster together the strength and courage and everything else that it takes from time to time to stand in this pulpit, is the same God that has called you to be a mother. And the same God that can give you the grace and the strength to do what needs to be done being a mother. And I'd like to say this morning, I don't pity you any more being a mother than my wife pities me being a minister. She knows what I need. And I think God knows what you need this morning. So here we go. We're in this together. A Mother's Day message. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. I'd like to begin with a story about two sisters that had an encounter with Jesus one day. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Tells us, now it came to pass as they went. This was Jesus and some of his, I'm thinking it's some of the disciples, but maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was just Mary and Martha. And anyhow, it says, it came to pass this, as they went, they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received them into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. How do you think Martha felt? I think she felt a little bit like I did. She reached out to Jesus with her concern and her trouble and her own strength. And Jesus looked at her and he said, Woman, Martha, you're troubled about the things of life. That Mary is finding the answer to, I guess I'll say. Is that the right way to say it? I believe so. Well, this morning, dear sisters, you can be a Martha, or you can be a Mary. Or you can be a Martha, Mary. Which is, I really think, where we need to find ourselves. It's interesting as I think about, let's just go back in your mind's eye with me to this time, this scene, this family. I don't know what, the Bible doesn't tell us necessarily that much about Martha and what her lot in life was. But I would like to say just the picture that I get from Martha, I believe she was a woman who had everything done just right. I believe the house was orderly. I believe things were cleaned up. This was in the village of Bethany, and Bethany was about 2 miles from Jerusalem. And it was actually, I looked into this a little bit. It's actually on the east slope of the Mount of Olives. And so picture with me a beautiful area that had an eastward look, an eastern slope to it. And just a few feet outside of Jerusalem, really a few miles outside of Jerusalem, a little village. Here's where Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived. And I believe from what we gather from the story here that Martha was a good housekeeper. I believe it was spick and span and cleaned up, and I don't know if they were wealthy or poor. That doesn't matter. They lived here and they enjoyed life here. And I gather from the story, and if you read around, there's other accounts we could look into. But as Jesus traveled through this area, he had apparently over a period of time learned to find this place a place of where he could go and rest and, yes, find an invitation to be there, find hospitality, as it were. And so this is another time that Jesus came along. And he found this, I'm going to call it a well-kept little cottage, clean and cool and refreshing. And like I said, I don't know if they were wealthy, if they were poor. It doesn't really matter. Because you know what, sister, since it is the heart that welcomes the heart inside you that welcomes, should be the heart that welcomes. It doesn't matter what the house and the property necessarily consists of, whether it be of the latest style, the latest interior decorating, or whatever you want to put into it. I don't believe Jesus was there because of those things. He was there because he had a relationship. I believe it was a loving, orderly, clean environment. And that is adequate enough. Over the years of being in the ministry, I have done a lot of travels, been in a lot of homes, in a lot of different areas. And some of my most precious moments and some of the times when we felt the most at home was in some of the, It wasn't in the upscale class of things. It was in the poorer communities with poorer people, so to speak. And yet there was a warm welcome there. There was hospitality there. There was those things that really mattered that we found. And this morning I'd just like to encourage us as, yes, as families, as our sisters, that really that is what really matters. I believe we conclude from this story that Jesus loved to visit and relax in their home. And the Bible tells us that these four individuals were close to each other. They were acquainted and they had enjoyed a relationship together. And when I think about that, it just fills in a lot of the cracks, I think. There was a good experience in all this. I like to think just a few moments in the introduction yet this morning of the two individuals and the contrast between them. We think of Martha and her being cumbered about, like the Bible says, with much serving. I believe she was a diligent housekeeper. She was busy serving. She was busy, I believe in our language, we would say she was busy preparing a delicious meal for her company. I believe that was her goal. That was what she was consumed with. And I can just imagine this woman rushing around, and that was just, that's what, yeah, like I said, that's what she was consumed with. Mary, in contrast, showed her love and her devotions by sitting by Jesus. Should I say in the living room, sitting on the sofa across from the recliner where Jesus was sitting. Let's make it practical today. And she was visiting. She was enjoying the things that Jesus was telling her. Probably about his journey, his ministry, who he met, and I don't know what all it was. But they sat there and they visited. Dear ones, it was like we do today, I believe. Yes, it was a different time, different culture. Things were different. But I believe that the communication between them was much like we find on a Sunday afternoon. And she was enjoying learning from the things that Jesus was telling her. Here comes Martha out of the kitchen and she's all in a stew and all upset. And Mary's sitting there and she couldn't care less about what's happening. Why don't you tell her to come and help me? And Jesus said, you know, the things that Mary is choosing are more important, putting it in my own words now, than the things you're choosing. In other words, Martha's life was taken up with tangible commitment. It took the first place in her life. In Mary's life, it was the intangible attitude of worship. And I love the answer that Jesus gave her. The answer that Jesus gave her still rings clear today. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. This morning, dear mothers, we live in life in this world. Life is real. The pressures are upon us. Yes, we live in the flesh, and the flesh rises up sometimes, and you say, oh, not again. Must I? Is this really my lot in life? Just like I was commending that was my experience this year. But you know what? There's peace and joy and satisfaction when we say, look, this is our lot. We're going to do the best that we can do. I didn't give you the title to the message, did I? I told you before I struggle with titles sometimes, and I wasn't sure. But this morning I gave this title to the message. It's in a question form. Kingdom service or self-service? And I'd like to just maybe suggest this morning, could it be that Martha was busy serving self in a way? Yes, she was making a good meal. She was serving Jesus. But was she maybe busy preserving a self-image? The home was spotless. It was clean. The meal had to be good. Could it be that maybe, I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell, but I just want you to think about this morning, and this is, I guess, why I gave the title I did to the message. Could it be that Martha was more concerned about what the company thought and about the image that she was going to let of herself than what Mary was? Apparently, Mary, there was more important things. It was where her heart was. Her heart was with Jesus. Her heart was pursuing the things that really mattered. Well, I guess I'd like to challenge you this morning. I'd like to challenge myself. What are the things that really matter? And how can we achieve the things as mothers, as church leaders, as whoever, whatever our responsibility is this morning? I'm going to talk basically to mothers this morning, but there's a lot of application that can be made. Are we in it for the kingdom interests, for the things that really matter, or are we in it for self-image, preserving ourselves? Think about that as we go through the message. I have about 6 points I'd like to share. And the first one is this: undivided loyalty to Christ, whether in quiet worship or active service, is acceptable to God. God is looking for, and I said, I think the balance is in being a Mary Martha. And this morning, what I'd like to say is that as many different gifts as you have as a mother, some mothers have gifts in certain areas. We talk about gifts still. Different people keep homes in different ways. Different people see things that are maybe more important to them than what other people do. And those things within the balance of the scriptures and the principles of God's word are really neither here nor there in the eyes of God. Undivided loyalty to Christ and active service, both are acceptable to God, but there needs to be the balance between those two is what I'm saying. Let's go back. I know we wear this scripture out back in Proverbs chapter 31 where we find the scripture of the virtuous woman, but I just turn back with me. I'd like to just, I don't think I'm going to take the time to read it all, but I'd like to point a few verses out this morning, and especially verse 30 and 31, because I believe this morning that these are verses that are really at the crux of this subject this morning. Proverbs 31 and verse 10 begins with the question, "Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her. In her, she will do him good, not evil, all the days of her life." You see, this morning, mothers, there's something very precious about you being a mother, having a husband, one who trusts you. And I'm going to look at this a little bit later in the message. I have a point I'd like to make in relation to this. The fact that you are here to do good, you're a helpmeet, you're a mother to your children, somebody that reaches out to children. And you need to do this in confidence, dear one. This goes on, and it talks about a woman that sounds like, wow, she just does it all. And I'd like to say this morning that I believe that God is expecting you to be busy in your field and not, well, let's just look. You need to, first of all, have confidence. In verse 18, it says, "She perceiveth that her merchandise is good." Mothers, you need to have the courage this morning that what you are doing, the job that God is giving you, the responsibilities that God is giving you, you can do them, and they are going to be good as long as it's done to the best of your abilities, whether your abilities are excellent, whether they're fair, whether they're maybe a little on the poor side. God accepts it. Active service in connection with your turning to God and crying out to Him in your responsibilities. You must have that confidence this morning. Sisters, take courage. The work that you're in, yes, no matter how humdrum it may seem from day to day, from time to time, take courage. It's a good work. It's the work God has called you to. Do the best you can. It goes on. It talks about the busyness of life. This portion just talks about all the things that she does. But in verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. One of the reasons I told you I don't pity you being a mother this morning, no matter how busy you are, that's what God planned for you. That's what God wants. He wants you to be busy. He wants you to be taken up with the important things that he has for you to do. And yes, sometimes your flesh would like to sit back and maybe eat the bread of idleness for a while. That's human to all of us. But it's not God's plan. If you want your children, in verse 28, to rise up and call you blessed, and you want the praise of your husbands, then get busy doing what God has for you to do. And enjoy it, and do it with courage. Verse 30 and 31, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And I'd like to make a point out of that verse this morning. Your faithfulness and your journeying as a mother this morning begins with your fear of the Lord. I think I can honestly say, yes, I realize this morning, let me say it like this. I realize this morning that getting up and preaching the Word of God to you from time to time is a privilege. And I ought to look at it. I ought to see it in that way more than I do sometimes. You know, I look at it as being a work, and then I don't always look at it in that way, but too often I do. And then I realize that, you know, this is what God has called me to, and because I have a fear of that, because I know that someday I'm going to say it before Almighty God, and I'm going to give an account of my responsibilities, it puts that fear in my heart that, yes, I'll do it, Lord. It ought to put the fear in my heart that I really want to do it, and I do. But I'm just exposing myself and how we are, and I believe you as mothers are that way sometimes as well, probably. You look at the whole scope of things. You know what? If you're looking at it from God's perspective, for God, you see it as kingdom interest, as kingdom service, in other words, instead of self-service. It's going to make a big difference on how you relate to family, children, husbands, community. The list goes on. See it as kingdom service. Verse 31 says that it will give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Faithfulness is going to bring about praise that nothing else can bring about in your experience. And so I go back to this thought again, that undivided loyalty to Christ in your abilities, in the gift that God has given you, is acceptable to God. God is looking for those kind of things from all of us. The second thing I'd like to say this morning, sisters, you have the privilege to serve him in spite of your surroundings. I already alluded to this. It doesn't matter if you're poor, if you're living with limited finances and whatever you may be tempted with this morning, you have the privilege of serving him with the surroundings that God has given you. And you may say this morning, why, how? You know, I wish I'd have this, I wish I'd have that. I just wish things were different, wish my lot in life were different. Turn with me to these verses. Were in our Sunday school lesson this morning, 2 Peter chapter 1. I want you to notice verse 3 and verse 4 again. We had the question in our Sunday school book I forget exactly how the question was worded, but it was a practical question in relation to the things that pertain to life and godliness. And my ears perked up as I listened to the answers that were given. And I was blessed by that. But verse 3 says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And in verse 3. In verse 4 it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these things we might be partakers of Christ. What are these verses saying, especially verse 3, where he's saying that he has given us, his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. This morning, dear ones, the point I want to make, sisters, is that God has not called you to anything that he's not going to supply the needed energy, the needed wisdom. You may struggle in knowing how to raise children, a family. You may wonder sometimes if the things that you're doing are really the way you ought to be doing it. I don't know what all you struggle with this morning, but I just want to encourage you with this thought this morning, that God does not call you to do something that he doesn't give you the strength, the grace, the wisdom, the understanding, the resources. Dear ones, wives this morning, you have leaders, you have husbands you can turn to, you have church family around you, you have other sisters, you have so many things going for you. And it's all because God put it all in place. You can reach out. I'm thankful this morning for older sisters in our midst who continue to teach. Titus says the older women should be teaching the younger women. Older sisters this morning, continue to teach the younger women. Be an example. Your life, your conduct, those things are teaching. Let me read a story to you this morning that really brings out this point. I ran across this story and I just like to read it to you. It's entitled, Teachers of Good Things. Although I was only a teenager, I vividly recall the feelings that stirred within me when I entered the small upstairs apartment. With typical youthful energy, I had joined several other teenagers painting a church building for a small group of church planting believers in another state. One day, I went with some girls to the home of a young church family for some needed items. "Come in," called a cheery voice in answer to our knock. The scent of freshly laundered clothes burst upon us as we opened the door, zigzagged across the small kitchen and living room were wash lines full of drying laundry. A pleasant face emerged from a row of diapers. "Join me over here," the young mother called as she parted a path through the laundry with one hand and balanced a spoonful of baby cereal with the other. I doubt she realized as she sat there spooning cereal into the eager little mouth that she was setting an example for me. I stole laundry block glances around the simple apartment. Not once did she apologize for its appearance. Calmly, she continued feeding her baby while we chatted, thanking us for our work in their community. She spoke of their outreach and sense of mission. I left that apartment with a picture of contented commitment that I have not forgotten. One young mother taught a younger daughter of God the importance of serving family, living simply, and reaching out to the community. I did not know that one day I would have the opportunity to return the favor. 20 years later, I was singing in the morning sun as I hung laundry on my wash line. Suddenly, a hand parted the laundry and a smiling face emerged. The friendly face was growing up now, but it belonged to the baby that was being fed in the apartment long ago. Rose and I greeted each other warmly. Visiting her grandparents next door, she had heard me singing and came to say hello, extending her hand toward the shady porch where a row of simply made dresses swayed in hangers. She said with a smile, "It looks like a dress shop." Her next comment warmed my heart. "You make homemaking look so much fun, like so much fun." She asked about our move to town and what had prompted it. I spoke of our desire to serve the church in practical ways and to be ambassadors for Christ in our community. With a wave of warm satisfaction, I realized that I was setting an example for this young daughter of God in the same simple way her mother had taught me. According to Titus 2:3-5, daughters of God are expected to be teachers. Being teachers of good things blesses women with a sense of fulfillment and blesses the woman being taught with a sense of purpose. With or without trying, you are teaching the women around you. Why not put effort in guiding others in the paths of peace and purpose? I love that story this morning. I can't put it in words as good as that writer did. And the moral of the story is keep on pressing on, keep teaching. The fact is, dear sisters, this morning, you are teaching. You're leaving an impression. The question is, what is the impression? What is the rising generation observing, seeing from your lives? Are they seeing contentment, satisfaction? Something that wants them to have what you have because you're singing as you're hanging up wash. Number three, when God's enabling power is working in our lives will be full of, and I put in the word agape love. And I put that word in there because agape love is a love that loves in spite of the circumstances, in spite of the conditions. This morning, the point that I'd like to make from this is this point. Agape love that is void of circumstances, love that is void of the conditions. It's there. It's from the heart. It's from serving Christ. It's because I realize what Christ has done for me, and I want to reach out and be that example and touch the lives of others in whatever way I can. This love affects the way we use our time and our talents. And mothers, I'd like to encourage us in this. I know there's a lot of talented mothers here. Mothers have the same amount of time that we all do. 24-hour periods, yes, they're full. But we live in a world that is changing. Our styles of living are changing. Things are changing. Are we using the time this morning in a way that we are perpetuating the faith, that it's going on, that others are observing? I just leave this challenge with you this morning. But you see, grace, or this power that God gives us, He hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. God is giving you power to have love in your hearts, to live your life, to raise your children, to be an example, so that you're passing this faith on, that others are catching on. And I believe this power, this enabling power that God gives you, will flavor everything that you do. The Bible talks about the importance of having self-control, having our will under control, having our, yes, being the right example and so on. God gives us the power to do that. He gives you the strength to do that. And it's why it's important to be connected. You see, in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14, we have this familiar verse that talks about Christ's love in our hearts constraining us. It's because of what Christ is doing for us, what He has done for us, and it's because we want our families to connect to that. And that thought and that love constrains us and humbles us and makes us willing to be ambassadors for Him, yes, in raising a family. I said it flavors everything that you do. It flavors the way you relate to your children. It flavors the way you relate to your husbands. The way you observe Christ and the power and the ability that He gives to you, it flavors that. That's probably the first and the foremost. It flavors the way we relate to church family. Other people, the community, they see it and they observe. It's so important to have Christ's love in our heart. And when that constrains us, life flows forth from our lives in the way that God enables us to relate to, yeah, circumstances, whatever you find yourselves in. That moves me right into the fourth point. We talk about being busy, and I know mothers sometimes feel overwhelmed with everything that's required of you, meeting schedules, school schedules, packing lunches, getting school children ready, getting girls combed, the list goes on and on. I don't have to tell you what all it is. But you know, when you depend on God and you're in that for kingdom interests, you're in that for the good of your family, you see God's hand in all that, again, you find a strength and a power to go on and just do it like the sister that I talked about, the story that I read. Hang up the wash with a song in your heart. The neighbors ought to hear you singing, I believe, if you have close neighbors at least, as you hang up wash. And do the many, many, many more things that are demanded of you. I just like to say in relation to this point this morning, I believe it's well for you to learn to evaluate what is the most important. And do not allow the seemingly urgent, I'll call them, things to cloud your thinking. You see, that's exactly what was happening with Martha in the story. Martha was taken up with the seemingly urgent things. Well, dinner needs to be put on. It has to be the best. And her mind was wrapped up. Dear sisters, this morning, you can do the very same thing in life. There's so many things, and you possibly can't do them all. You possibly can't. Schedule doesn't allow. And somewhere, something needs to be put out of the schedule. But make sure that the things that really count are the things that happen and the things that aren't, that, yes, time and sense wants to make seem urgent, important. Evaluate that. And if you're not sure, ask your husbands, ask your families, ask again. Reach out. The other thing I'd like to say, I believe, and I say this carefully because I know that everybody's energy level is different. God has made us all different, and some people just seemingly have a lot of energy and can do so much more and never get tired. But I do believe that this power that we're talking about that God gives to us, I believe this power also enables us to plan on the run. May I say it that way? Yes, in light of busy schedules and going, and I think we need to plan. We need to think ahead. I believe that there are minutes in all of our schedules. There are moments in all of our schedules that if we use them wisely, they will lessen the tension at those moments when we don't have the minutes anymore and where things are crowding in upon us and, you know, we just need to be at church. I believe sometimes that those pressures that we feel, and I'll just use the example again of being at church on time, the pressure all of a sudden at 10 till 9 comes upon us because at maybe 10 till 7 we didn't use the 10 minutes there we could have used. May I say it that way? Think about it. I believe it is. You know, let's learn to plan. Let's learn to use the moments that God has given us. God gives us grace. He gives us strength. If we just allow and use those times in a proper way. Number 5. I'd like for you to open your Bibles. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. I'd like to look at a few verses here. My next 2 points I'm going to make from these verses. But my 5th point is the enabling power of God enables you to be, and sisters, you probably don't think about it in this way, but it enables you to be an anchor to your home. Do you realize that you are the anchor? You might say, wait a minute, my husband's a leader. He's supposed to be that anchor. And that's true. Husbands, I'm not letting you off this morning. We are to lead out and we are to be an anchor. But one of the things that I think about when I think about faithful mothers and motherhood, mothers are a real anchor to our homes. And I take that from verse 1 and 2. 1 Peter chapter 3, he begins, likewise. He's referring back, he's giving us some admonition for the Christian life and how we're to conduct ourselves, so on. Again, turns our thoughts to Christ and what he has done for us. But he says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may be without the word. May also without the word be won by the conversation. That means the walk, the example of the wives, of mothers, while they behold your chaste conversation, your chaste walk, your life, your example. Well, let's let the word example out. I want to use that in my next point. But that's really what it is. What you are, dear mothers, this morning is an anchor to your home. Your husbands are leaders, and your husbands are, we're just men. May I say it that way? We have emotions. We have struggles within our breasts at times. We wonder if the decisions that we make as husbands, as we lead out and try to give direction to our homes. I am so thankful this morning for, yes, a wife that I can turn to sometimes and say, what do you think about this? It's an anchor to me. You are an anchor to your home, to your husband, first of all, probably. Maybe not first of all. To your children, first of all, to your husband. That's probably the order it's really in. Because do you realize this morning that your children believe that you know everything? Your children believe that you have the answer to everything? That's how much confidence they have in you mothers. I have answered my children just somewhat teasingly sometimes already when they ask me about things. I would say, well, am I God? I don't know the answer to that. But you see, they think we have the answers. They think we know. And that brings confidence. That is an anchor in their life. That brings stability to their life. That brings emotional stability. Yes, in their world of questions and in their world of wondering about things, they relax and they go to bed saying, Mom and Dad have it all under control. There's some lessons for us to learn in that. Dear mothers this morning, dear dads this morning, can you lay down in your pillows at night and say, God has it all under control? That's what our children do with us. This morning, dear mothers, you're more than just the person that makes the meals and does the washing and all that. You are an anchor in your home. Your home, your family, your husband, the church. I think I told you all in the council room this fall, this spring, that each one of you fills a vital place in church life. And that if you weren't here, you would let a hole. You would be missed. And that is true. That is so true in your home, in the church, in the community. You are an anchor. Take courage, mothers. Be the anchor God wants you to be. Number 6 and my last point this morning. Be the example. The enabling power of God helps you to choose the things which are in the sight of God of great price. Let's read verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold and putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. This morning, it doesn't matter how beautiful your home is. It doesn't matter how many new dresses are hanging in your closet. May I say that? There's probably, probably too many. I get a little concerned when I hear that we need a new dress for this occasion anymore and a new dress for that occasion. And the next thing I am observing is that we need a new sweater to match with the new dress. And the list goes on and on and on. And I'm just throwing that out this morning. Dear sisters, this morning, those things mean nothing to God. I shouldn't say they don't mean anything to God. God observes those things. What God really wants is your heart. He wants to see faithfulness. He says, forget the outward adorning, this thing of having to have everything just right and just so. There's nothing in that that's going to help you be an example. It's going to be the hidden man of the heart. It's going to be the Mary heart, not the Martha heart. That's what it's going to be. That's going to make the difference. And Peter says, that in the sight of God is a great price. I'd just like to say in conclusion this morning, being a mother, a faithful mother, just doing the humdrum things of life, in the sight of God has a great price.